Okay, here we go. I'm in the car with Lisa Jane, the gorgeous yet wonderful thing. Hi, Lee.
Hey.
Mwah. I was just saying rude, obnoxious things about Mexicans. And I don't know if I'm going to get back to trying to restate any of it.
It was not that rude.
No, but it can certainly look that way. Are they trying to say that there's a cop up here?
I just turned on my lights just now.
Oh.
I guess he was trying to tell me, turn on your lights. I can barely see you.
What? It's the middle of the freaking day. I think he's trying to tell you there's a police officer up here.
Well, you know what? I'm doing 65.
Okay. Well, it's perfectly legal. Anyway. So, yeah, you know, I was talking about the fact that this place was just empty for the longest time, you know.
It's still mostly empty.
Well, but somebody owns all of it, and it's chopped up into pieces. People own pieces. Although, you might be hard-pressed to figure out where that person lives. They probably all live in Kansas or California or someplace else, and they just lease out their land, or they sold it a while back, or whatever. Because, you know, this is all really, I break it up into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six phases. The first one was the wise nomad phase. The Indians would come through here with the buffalo herds, you know, that would go through. It says, but they weren't silly enough to try to set up towns or villages or settle, because there was no reason to settle here. Not really water that was reliable at all. Surface water, you know. And that was the way it was for the longest time, even into the Spanish phase. It didn't matter who technically owned this land. Here's the tricky part. Anything that flows into the Mississippi River was technically part of the Louisiana Purchase, which means that, okay, now I'm not sure the Caprock, but I am pretty sure about the Caprock. Where our family ranch was, that was a prairie dog fork of the Red River. And the Red River flows eventually into the Arkansas, which flows into the Mississippi eventually. So this territory here was technically, although it was never seen as this, part of the Louisiana Purchase because of how it was defined. That's Tucumcari too. I mean, that's part of the Canadian River Valley. That's what goes, you know, the Canadian River's north, but it's that valley. And you go, so what is this place? And you go, it would have been the Louisiana Purchase. So it was always land that was kind of undefined. Number one, nobody wanted to be here. Nobody thought it was worth anything. So it was just kind of no man's land forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So yeah, you know, the Indians could operate here, although they didn't live here. This was just part of their range. Anyway, well, then the Spanish came, right? And this is all confusing too, because nobody was really sure about where Spanish claims ended and French claims began. Because out here, it just didn't matter. There was no boundary lines. You could say, well, it was the Pecos River, and you go, no, nobody ever came and said, it's this river right here is the boundary line. Nobody did.
Or the Rio Grande.
Yeah, because frankly, nobody was here. even during the Spanish times, it got to the point where somebody drew some line, right, that made no sense. And it wasn't any kind of natural boundary. It wasn't something that you could see and say, that's Texas and this is New Mexico. New Mexico was always over there. It was the Rio Grande River Valley up to Taos area. That was New Mexico. Anyway, so you had that. And that was the Spanish thing. The Spaniards kind of owned it, sort of, but they pretty much just ignored the place because it wasn't worth, you know, it wasn't worth doing anything with. There was nothing here. There was no rivers. There was no water. And when you don't have water, you don't got junk.
Yeah, you can't really run cattle and stuff without water.
Yeah.
You can't grow things without water.
Yeah. So, now up north where the Santa Fe Trail went, the Spanish would do some policing up there because they didn't want anything bad to happen to the trail, right? That was a supply route. Made sense. Going from Santa Fe to St. Louis, you know, lots of traffic, lots of different people. Europeans, Indians, people coming up from Mexico, by and large, still Spaniards. Started to intermingle, but not all that much back then. Anyway, so that's phase two. Phase three was Rancher Railroad phase. That's where things started happening here. Because you had to get your stuff from one side of the country to the other, and we were in the middle.
So you're saying white people are industrious enough to make that happen?
I'm sorry, who?
White people are industrious enough to make that happen, and the Spanish and the French and all those other people?
Here's what happened. This place was already taken over by the United States, right, by that time. It had long since not been part of Spain anymore. Spain was back in the old days before they had any of this stuff. There was some of the Spanish land grants, cattle ranches and stuff like that. But for some reason, it was just kind of... It was okay, it was there, it was present, but it wasn't that big of a deal. And it certainly wasn't a big deal down here. There were no Spanish land grants in this area. This was the great Southwest Desert. There was nothing here, zero. And people just flat didn't live down here. It wasn't until the railroad started appearing and stuff like that. Not that there was a little bit of wiggle room there, but to be honest, the vast majority of them were Europeans. So when people say, oh, you know, all these wonderful cultures, and you go, in this part of the state, there was one culture. The Europeans came to a land that was desolate, unpopulated, unwanted. Took it and did something with it. Found something to do with it. And it was ranching. And so you have that, and that's still pretty much what can be done here, except that the whole lifestyle is changing and it's different, and there's far fewer of them. The old cowboys don't exist really anymore, you know.
And the vaqueros and...
Whoever.
Yeah.
There was... Comancheros, they were some Mexicans and Spaniards and frankly a bunch of Europeans too that operated north of here, you know, kind of off the Santa Fe Trail. doing some trading, but there really wasn't much to trade or to trade, people to trade with. It really wasn't worthwhile. But you could cut yourself out a nice ranch just for putting down stakes and fencing it off and saying, this is mine. And there was, who's going to stop you? Nobody else owned it. Anyway. And the next phase was the bamboozled farmers. They're mostly gone now. Although you still have some of their descendants. You know, the railroad came through. The railroad got huge swaths of land. And they chunked it up into, you know, acre, 5 acre, 10 acre parcels. And they started suckering people into buying them. You know, telling them how beautiful it was here in Verdant and the beautiful streams and lying. That's why you call them the bamboozled farmers, because they were bamboozled. They got tricked. Somebody told them that this was a Verdant place. It says, and that's why every 5 miles or so, almost on every 5 mile corner, there was a town. And I mean a real live town, dry goods store, maybe a school, you know, there's business going on. It was to serve that little area because they thought they had the Eastern United States mindset where a 5 acre thing was a township and you could fit 20,000 people in there and, you know, you could have 500 cows an acre. That's a lie, you can't. Even in the best places, but yeah, a lot better than maybe the one cow for every 20 acres you can have here. Anyway, and so yeah, bamboozled. Poor guys got sold a bill of goods. It says, and they all got fleeced. There's still chunks of land out here. They come up for sale occasionally. That were bought by people 125, 150 years ago. Actually, less than that, about 125 maybe. Anyway, because they thought they were going to come out here and become a rich farmer. And this is a particularly good year for rain and all that. It's beautiful, it's marvelous. If climate change isn't changing this land, and just this is just going to be a rainier place, hope you didn't. Don't go crazy and think that next year is going to be like this, since that would be foolish. You need to be ready for about 11 or 12 years of nothing until the next time that it's just amazing. It says, but you can't bet on it. You don't. You know, and that's why people go, I don't understand why this isn't all broken out and they're all growing crops and everything goes, because nobody knew that this year was going to be any good. Just didn't know it. You know, you can ask God, maybe he'll tell you, but he usually doesn't. Ta-da! And there it is. So now we're in the abandonment phase. No reason for most people to be here. You know, every town used to have 3 or 4 grocery stores. You only really need one, and chances are Family Dollar or Dollar General is going to be enough of a grocery store that it's going to wipe out everything else. You know, going, yeah, says, and that's the way it ends up being. And so what gets generated? About 5 jobs. And you go, and they all suck. Sorry. They don't make any money. That's how Family Dollar and Dollar General make it, is that they pay their people minimum wage. Or whatever. You know, and you go, and that's it. Those are the jobs. It says, all the schools have consolidated. For every 20 schools that were here back in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, there is one school left of that group. And you go, and that's just life. And you go, and it's not like, you know, you're having to go and get all these kids. There aren't any kids, you know. Since they all got themselves an education, maybe went off to college, and said they're not coming back. What are they going to do? Ranch? You don't need a college degree to ranch. You don't need to go to school to ranch. You don't need to do any of that stuff. So most of these places are abandoned. You know, and you go, oh, there's all this stuff here. And you go, yeah, toward what purpose? What are you going to turn into? Scrap metal? There's somebody living here, surprisingly enough. And you go, wow, that's great. Says chances are there won't be much longer. You know, because it's like, ranchers can't compete against stockyards. And what we're finding out is, especially during this pandemic, America's appetite for beef has really taken some hits. It's not doing so good. The cattle business is not what it was. And it's
beef. It's what's good.
Yeah, and you have to own more and more land to run fewer and fewer cattle to make less and less money. And you're going, oh my gosh. You go like,
yeah,
so.
I kind of wonder how the winds are going to continue to
hang. Oh, this is slow. It's slow moving. The winds, the older winds did fantastic. You know, good times. The market was in their favor. People were eating beef. Everybody's happy. Everything's kind of working out. Yeah, the younger Wettons, they might be okay. Says, but don't, you know. But the whole thing was, Casey, you went and you got a freaking degree. You're
a lawyer,
for Pete's sakes, man. That takes a lot of schooling. And you came back to ranch, and you go, that's nice. He says, I hope you don't instill that kind of behavior in your kids. He says, because it would almost be foolhardy for them to do that. It's almost foolhardy for you to do it. The only reason why it makes sense is that your family already owns the land. If at some point, you know, something happens and it becomes far more lucrative for you to get rid of that land to sell out to somebody, you go, yeah, your ranch days are through probably, you know? And you go, oh my gosh. That's okay. Like I said, each part of this stuff still survives on some level. Now, Tucum Carrier was nothing during several phases. It just didn't exist until ranching and the rail. Actually, it was just the railroad. I don't even think ranching was really a thing back then. Until the railroad came in and made it a little more profitable. It says, but the railroad doesn't even stop here. It says, how many people in Tucumcari work for the railroad now? And you go, practically zero. The few guys that I knew that worked for the railroad, they're gone. Heck. So yeah, and you go, it's just what happens, you know? This isn't the center of the universe like it used to be. And so, yeah, now it's the abandonment phase. Anybody who has any gumption at all left. We did too, although I can't say we're the gods of gumption. And that's okay. I'm really not either, but I had to go out and do something. And I got sucked back. So I'm kind of a weird one. Although I can't say that. A lot of people that are just older than I am, that have retired, and they're living in Tucumcari, yeah. They either came from Tucumcari's heyday, made all their money, did fine, and then
retired.
And just decide to not leave.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It says now these young families who are still around, it's like, what are you doing here? the Armijos, for instance. I don't mean to be rude, but I'd say 40% of Tucumcari are like the Armijos. You know? Just there, taking whatever jobs are there, whatever. You know? And you're going, I don't want to be rude, but yeah, it says you guys are just the people that are left over and that don't have any gumption to do anything.
Beautiful. Gorgeous. So glad you're here.
Yeah. But it's not beautiful or gorgeous. It's a run-down, broken-up town.
I think it's this.
Oh, no, beautiful. This is beautiful. But this only works if you're a rancher. The truck driver types, which is what they try to do, you know, Tucumcari is like, oh, it'd be perfect for truck drivers, but it didn't work out.
That's because the stupid city leaders taxed them to death.
That's one of the problems with Tucumcari, and Tucumcari had a big city government when it made sense to have one, but it never shrunk. It just stayed about the same size. Had to boost the taxes to pay for it. And you're going, but now you're curtailing a lot of potential activity. You know? And New Mexico doesn't help either. The land of gross receipts taxes. They tax nearly everything. And, you know.
But we still get help from the government.
And it's a high rate. And it's like, anyway. You know. And you can say, well, it's just like every place else. And you go, no, there's a lot of places that aren't like this. The sad part is, it's Eastern Europe that really seems to be smart. They got pushed into communism. They hated it. Once they got out from under communism, they are the most anti-communist places in the world. Much better than America is. America lost its resolve 20 years ago to fight communism. You know, all these kids coming up.
That's why they're all wanting socialism.
Yeah. Well, and we raised the kids to be jabby, and we told them they were the center of the universe.
Because we weren't allowed to discipline them.
Yeah. Anyway,
If you spank your child, we're going to take your child away from you. That's abusive.
We're going to go to, yeah, you're going to go to jail, and you're going, okay, fine, I guess you get to, they get to run amok. And you go, yep, they do. So anyway, yeah, it says, and that's why, talk about the United States, and you go, oh, but we're the greatest nation on the earth. You go, no, we're not. In fact, we're sliding badly.
Very badly.
I said, and our up-and-coming generation hate what America was.
Yeah.
And want to be what the Soviet Union could have been.
Yeah.
And you're going, this is no place to be. It says, because you got too many narcissistic little Gen Z folk,
yeah,
who all they want out of life is they want somebody else to give them to be their mommies and daddies.
What's in it for me? Me.
Yeah.
That's mine.
And the best mommies and daddies shower down gifts on you.
They protect you.
Yeah. Make sure that you don't have to do anything. You can have lots of fun, and you can come home, and somebody else is responsible for all this. And you go, trust me, the last thing you want to be is you don't want to be one of those old people that has to keep working to make up for the fact that half of your population wants to go out clubbing every night.
Yeah.
And it's not even, you know, can't pass a drug test to get a job. And the government keeps shoving money at them and saying, oh, it's okay. Oh, you poor little kids. Oh, and you're going, dude, that's my money. You're taking it from me and giving it to that.
Yes.
So you really want to be in a country that's almost post that. They tried that, failed miserably, destroyed their country, and now they're building back and they're going, we ain't going to do it like that. We're not, you know, and when the European Union comes calling and knocks on their door and say, hey, don't you want to join our wonderful little union where we all kind of run your government? And they say, oh, screw you. We already had that with the Soviet Union. No way, man. We're not being part of anything bigger. In fact, smaller works for us. Smaller just works, period. So, yeah, places like Azerbaijan and Georgia and Serbia, strangely enough, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, who else? That whole little strip right there that used to kind of be in the Soviet sphere kind of took them over, but then they broke free of that once the Soviet Union fell apart. Yeah. Those guys, at least when it comes to economics, are thinking with their heads straight because they're saying, oh no, we already got screwed by those. All the stupid things you guys are cooking up today, we had to live through 50 years ago, and we ain't going there again. We're not going to play that game. So yeah, the chances of them deciding to finally go into the European Union, not really too good. They're not playing it very well. And the European Union isn't doing terribly well. And they are getting very dictatorial. You know? This is the way it's going to be. You have to live by this thing, this thing, this thing. We all agreed to it. And you go, no, we didn't agree to it. You guys, some building in Brussels cooked this crap up. And we're not buying it. So those places seem good, but, you know, you just can't tell. You know, there's still plenty of vestiges of the old Soviet stuff where it's like, you know, these really old people, and they're going, oh, I loved it when I had a really nice pension, and I had this and I had that. They would give me free cigarettes all the time. It says now they don't. And, you know, they're all pining for the old days, living in Egypt, eating out of the flesh pots, baby. Those were good days, man. So, it's Quay.
Quay?
Mr. Quay Ole.
Quay.
Anyway.
Yeah, how do you get a kid to say his R's?
Instead of aw?
Instead of aws.
I don't know.
All the kids with the speech impediments, it's all, they're ours.
It's ours, yes. That's what people all look at and says, yeah, but you guys are forgetting the T's. You're losing the T's, but you can't see it because you don't use them either.
Yeah. Come on, get me around this corner so I can see.
You can't say much because, you're way close for me.
Frick.
Just be careful. This is the rancher guy that turns off the road.
Well, he's going 55.
Yeah.
And the speed limit is 65.
Well, his business, huh? It's his road.
Whatever.
He owns all the land, I think.
I don't care.
Anyway. The British are weird that way, too. They don't say their R's particularly, either.
But they do.
And people think they're culture.
Instead of saying Anna, they say Anna.
Yeah, but that's weird.
And it's like, that it's is weird. Really. Why are you saying there. That? There's no R there.
And I'm sorry to say that what we think of as speech impediments is just the normal shift of language. And yeah, it means that people 100 years ago can't understand what people today are even saying. And you're going, I'm using the same words. And they're looking at you and they're going, can you enunciate a little more? Yeah, it's like, it's just not there. So yeah, frankly, I think most of speech things are trying to slow down the progress of the spoken language is just changing. And it always has. It always will. And I don't know if you can really stop it. I don't know if you can really force too many people to actually stop being that way. So yeah. Whatever. It makes it fun. There's a lot more special ed kids and schools get special ed money for something that really doesn't end up being really expensive. It's really kind of nice, you know? It's like the difference between somebody who can't say their R's and that's special ed, and Bunker and that's special ed. And you go, oh my gosh, we have to get a special aid just for Bunker, and he's never going to do anything. He's a lump or whatever.
Last year they had a kid who had ADHD like they had never seen before.
Yeah.
And they made sure he had a long 1A.
Yeah.
And was so glad that he left.
Yeah.
Because it was problem after problem.
When they
but
moved
he
off.
He lived in district and they had to take him.
Yeah. Afford to live here, and you go, good. Whew. Dodge that bullet.
So.
My parents thought they could make a deal here, and they couldn't. He says, yeah.
So anyway, I'm told that once I get my certification for educational aid,
yeah,
that they could call me to be a substitute teacher if one of the teachers can't come in that day.
Say no, I guess.
And Tanya said, last year, I substituted in every single grade in the school at one time or another.
So they didn't pay more, did they?
No. I said, even high school? She goes, even high school.
That's special about high school.
Yeah, I yelled at a high schooler the other day in the gym. He had jumped up and was hanging from the basketball hoop, but I mean just hanging.
Yeah.
And I walked over there and I said, get down from there. I do not ever want to see you doing that again.
Oh my gosh, Lee.
And he jumped down and he goes, yes, ma'am. Because even the little kids came to me and they said, teacher, he's on the hoop and he's not supposed to hang from the hoop. It's like, okay, that's the rule. I don't ever want to see it again. I don't know if that's the rule or not, but I took it as the rule.
I don't know how that works.
And you know what? I have not seen any of them hanging
from
the hoop.
Try it again. Well, they were just seeing if they could get away with it with you there. And now they can't. So they know that when Miss Lisa's around, that ain't happening.
One day, they were standing like...
I don't want to tangle with Lee.
No. One day, they were standing in the middle of the gym.
Yeah?
And trying to shoot behind them to make a goal.
All right.
And one of them did it.
Oh, my gosh.
One of them made it.
Oh, my gosh. Amazing.
What a lucky throw.
Me
and the psychologist, I don't even know his name, but he was standing next to me, and he said, are they supposed to be doing that? I said, I have no idea. Until they hurt somebody, I don't care if they do it. Once they hurt somebody, that's when I lay down the law. No more of this. And he said,
you gotta
okay.
Look at what you're trying to hit, man.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta say.
So they're just throwing it behind them, and some were really close, some were really bad. But one of them actually went in. And when it did, we both went, he did it! We both clapped and woo!
You know? Never do that again. But it was cool. We'll never do that again.
And so, you know, there's this other guy that was standing there with me. I think his name is David. But I don't know his last name.
Okay.
But he's the school psychologist.
Golly, the school has a psychologist, huh?
Yeah.
That's new.
And so when...
You gotta pay quite a bit for a psychologist.
Yeah, when Janet was saying that she had signed up to run for city council, she said, I may have to have you be on call all the time. He goes, oh, just put me on retainer. And so, I don't know if he gets paid per kid that he counts with or what.
Yeah, the joy of this area, weird. Says, you know what? Whoever wants to be here and stay here, whatever. If it works for you, great. If it doesn't work for you, why are you here?
There's one high schooler who stays behind to pick up all the basketballs that everybody pulled out. All the other high schoolers just take off. But I'm also telling the other kids, pick up the toys or you're not going anywhere. You're just sitting here. You're not getting your shoes on. You're not going to class. You're not going to PE. You're not going to do anything until all the toys that you guys pulled out are picked up. Balls, scooters,
those
green things. Oh, yeah. It takes a while, but they finally get it all done. Then they go and get their shoes on. Because they had just redone the floors, and they said no street shoes on the gym floor. And so some kids will go and put their gym shoes on, but
most kids will just go in their socks.
Yeah, most of them are in their socks. But some of those gym shoes have black soles, and
they make marks.
They're still getting marks soled at gym floor.
Because
I've said, have you walked outside in those shoes today? No, ma'am, these are my gym shoes. Okay. Thank you. You know, I don't know if they're lying to me or not.
Yeah. That's why I couldn't do school.
There's a stomach bug going around.
I've got a serious... enforcement phobia. I just, you know.
I don't like being the enforcer.
Yeah,
I keep getting put in positions where I'm supposed
well,
to be.
Well, you're actually pretty good at it.
Am I?
Yeah. The biggest thing, the best enforcer is the one that the kids listen to. And they're just a little afraid of.
I think they are a little. They're not sure how far to push me.
Yep.
But they do try to push my butt.
Sure. They want to see where they can go. They want to see what they can do. One of the worst things about school is that that's what we teach kids to do all day long, is to just figure out just how far they can go. And you go,
yep, and
that's not even useful.
Braylon does that.
Yeah.
She, every half hour, on Monday and Tuesday, I have a headache. Can I go to the nurse's station? Because her grandmother is the school nurse.
I've told
and
you
is only
this.
There on Monday and Tuesday.
Right.
And it drives us crazy because we know that she's just wanting to get out of class and stop getting out of school. And just yesterday, she said, I gotta go to the bathroom. And this lamb was in there.
Hey, and statistically,
and said,
those guys are going to be the most successful in life.
Yeah. Miss Lamb said, do you sleep all night long, or do you get up every half hour and go to the bathroom? I sleep all night. Well, then you can hold it longer than what you've been holding it. No, you may not go to the bathroom. And Mrs. Rivera's rules were she does not want to have a student pee in their pants because she said you can't go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So if they say they gotta go, she lets them go.
Right. So. I would be kind of that way too. I'd just say, you know what, I don't want to put up with the crap.
And I thought Ms. Walker came up with a really interesting thing. She's got this little box on that she drew on the chalkboard or whiteboard or whatever.
Right.
And she's got it divided into how many kids she's got. And each kid has their name in there. And she's got so many marks. And if you have to go to the bathroom, you erase one of your marks before you go out the door. And if you don't have any more marks at the end of the day, you don't get to go. You used up all your bathroom privileges.
Oh my gosh. Well, let me tell you, there's a lot of education in peeing all over yourself,
yeah.
Having all the kids treat you like garbage for it.
Oh yeah.
You know, and people go, oh, that's abusive, and you go, you know what? Life is abusive, and
yeah.
You gotta learn
Miss,
how to deal with abuse.
Miss Bone did not see Gentry wiping her butt with her towel. And so she was out there during kindergarten when we were just sitting and talking while the kids were playing. And so we were filling in Mrs. Garcia, the kindergarten teacher, about what Gentry had done. And I said, and she, you know, when I looked in the room, she had ripped off her bathing suit. She was naked, but she was wiping her butt with her towel. And Mrs. Bone said, what? Oh, my God. Oh, if that was my kid. Oh, that would never happen again. I said, well, her mom's going to be in a big, nice surprise when she gets home and has to wash it.
Wash that and says there's poop all over it.
I said, so I figured it was Thursday and it was going to be going home to wash, so
yeah.
I didn't say anything.
But it's kind of a crapshoot whether the parents are
going to
be
they?
Okay.
Or
come and start screaming at the school saying, why'd you let this happen to my child? San Juan tends to go really heavy the other way, which is nice. But in any other school, it is, you know, teachers versus parents.
Yeah.
Parents are here to make the teacher miserable and to make her life a living hell. And so, yeah, anything bad happens to your kid, your teacher's up against the wall, getting sucker punched. And you go, I understand why teachers are the way they are. I understand why they're trained the way they're trained. Says, I wouldn't be a teacher again. Says, and I barely was what I was. I pretty much broke every rule in the book. And said, hey, this is how real life is. And I said, sad but true, man. This is nobody's, you know. If you do something that makes you look like an idiot, what happens? You look like an idiot. Is this anybody who'd cover for you? Not really. A nice person might, but you better marry them. Oh. Okay. I'm done recording now. It's been fun.
Okay, it's 91 degrees here. Let's get out into the seat.
Yay! This isn't even hot.